The town itself is dreary. Not much is there except the cotton mill, the two-room houses where the workers live, a few peach trees, a church with two colored windows, and a miserable main street, only 100 yards long. On Saturdays, the tenants from the nearby farms come in for a day of talk and trade. Otherwise, the town is lonesome, sad, and like a place that is far off and estranged from all other places in the world. The nearest train stop is Society City, and the Greyhound and White bus lines use the Forks Falls Road, which is 3 miles away. The winters here are short and raw, the summers white with glare and fiery hot. If you walk along the main street on an August afternoon, there is nothing whatsoever to do. The largest building in the very center of the town is boarded up completely and leans so far to the right that it seems bound to collapse at any minute. The house is very old. There is about it a curious, cracked look that is very puzzling until you suddenly realize that at one time, and long ago, the right side of the front porch had been painted, and part of the wall. But the painting was left unfinished, and one portion of the house is darker and dingier than the other. The building looks completely deserted. Nevertheless, on the second floor, there is one window which is not boarded. Sometimes in the late afternoon, when the heat is at its worst, a hand will slowly open the shutter, and a face will look down on the town. It is a face like the terrible dim faces known in dreams, sexless and white, with two gray crossed eyes which are turned inward so sharply that they seem to be exchanging with each other one long and secret gaze of grief. The face lingers at the window for an hour or so, then the shutters are closed once more. And as likely as not, there will not be another soul to be seen along the main street. These August afternoons, when your shift is finished, there is absolutely nothing to do. You might as well walk down to the Forks Falls Road and listen to the chain gang. However, here in this very town, there was once a cafe. And this old boarded-up house was unlike any other place for many miles around. There were tables with cloths and paper napkins, colored streamers from the electric fans, great gatherings on Saturday nights. The owner of the place was Miss Amelia Evans. But the person most responsible for the success and gaiety of the place was a hunchback called Cousin Lyman. One other person had a part in the story of this cafe. He was the former husband of Miss Amelia, a terrible character who returned to the town after a long term in the penitentiary, caused ruin, and then went on his way again. The cafe has long since been closed, but it is still remembered. The place was not always a cafe. Miss Amelia inherited the building from her father, and it was a store that carried mostly feed, guano, and staples such as meal and snuff. Miss Amelia was rich. In addition to the store, she operated a still 3 miles back in the swamp and ran out the best liquor in the county. She was a dark, tall woman with bones and muscles like a man. Her hair was cut short and brushed back from the forehead, and there was about her sunburned face a tense, haggard quality. She might have been a handsome woman if, even then, she was not slightly cross-eyed. There were those who would have courted her, but Miss Amelia cared nothing for the love of men and was a solitary person. Her marriage had been unlike any other marriage ever contracted in this county. It was a strange and dangerous marriage, lasting only for 10 days, that left the whole town wondering and shocked.